Let's look together in our Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 7, and my text is from verse 24 to 29. For some time now, I've been preaching through this portion of Scripture, starting in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and now we come to the conclusion of what men call the Sermon on the Mount. If you were to look in the Scriptures for one particular place where Christ set forth the foundational teachings of his kingdom, it would be these chapters 5, 6, and 7. Our Lord was not preaching about some future kingdom, but the very one that he came to establish through his life and death on this earth. He taught this doctrine primarily for those that he came to call to himself and for whom he would pay the debt. But there were others that heard him and listened and did not take to heart what he was preaching, because it takes the Spirit of God to reveal him in the heart. And so here in Matthew 7:24-29, the Lord makes a distinction between those who are truly his, that he came to save, and all others. And he compares them to being wise or foolish builders. That's the title, wise or foolish builders. In verse 24, he describes one who is wise by the grace of God, taught by the Spirit. In verse 26, he describes those that are foolish. They have an outward look of being religious or being God's children, and yet they are not. Here's a point for us who are preachers, and that is that it's not everybody that listens to us comes to hear us, even though we may be preaching Christ in truth, it's not everybody that is his. Where there is wheat, there is going to be tares. Where the Lord gathers his sheep, there are going to be goats that are going to enter in the midst. Where the elected of God, by his grace, are gathered, there are going to be those who are not elect. And yet, out of curiosity or for whatever reason, they try to join themselves to the number. And here, where there are those that are described as wise, made wise by the Spirit of God, looking to Christ, there are going to be foolish next to them that are doing their own building. So wise and foolish builders. Let's read this in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, verse 25, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But now the contrast, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And here's the conclusion in verses 28 and 29. It came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that goes all the way back to Matthew 5, 6, and up to now verse 7, or chapter 7, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We don't know how long it took our Lord to preach this message from the top of that mountain where his disciples were gathered unto him, but there were those that came and listened and were there until the end and were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching. So the first point I'd like to have us consider here in this portion is, what is the difference between a wise and foolish builder. In this illustration that our Lord gives of two builders, each house, if you look at it, looked the same from the outside. No one questioned the difference. It's like in our neighborhoods, when you walk down the street and you look at different houses, some look pretty solid, and you might think, well, theirs is built to endure. But ultimately, what is the difference between a house well built and one that isn't? And the answer is simply this: it's in the foundation. If that foundation is solidly laid, then the house will endure. But if not, then the house will fall. Now, when a house is built, you don't see the foundation. Once it's built, the foundation is usually hidden. And the only way that you can tell how solid that house is when there's a storm, when there's wind, when there's rain. There are certain times of years, and this is true in any country, this particular time of year here in the United States where we live, there are a lot of storms that are coming through. And you hear of some houses being completely destroyed, and yet others stand. You say, well, what makes the difference? Well, we know it's the Lord. What is the foundation of the wise one described here? Well, it says there in verse 24, whose house was built upon a rock. So the strength of the house depends upon how strong is the foundation. And here, when Christ speaks of a house being built upon a rock, he is that rock upon which those that he has saved stand. The foolish are described as those that have a house built upon sand. Sand is no foundation at all, but we know people sometimes, they just quickly want to get the house up, make it look good. They don't take time to dig the foundation, and therefore the house is compromised from the beginning because it's built on sand and not on a solid rock.
genu mukamaya ngana nyumba ina ya kuti kumangidwa pachenga pamchenga ndi masiko osakhazikika ena mangobwera osakumba sodzenje kuti amangemonso padzecho chokuti amkhati ayi amangomanga pamchenga pakutunda basi bola nyumba yakongola yakhazikika koma chotziwika nchiona kuti nyumba ina tiyonsepeka moteromo imakhala yosalimba ndi yosakhazikika yosakhalitsa.
Now you note that both the wise and the foolish recognized the need for a house. What's a house? It's a shelter. It's a place to rest and eat and dwell. So both recognized the need, but both did not have the same result.
Kuona kuti nyumba cholinga chake ndi mthunzi malo ota munthu azikhala aliyense amakhaula akufuna pokhala palomake zimakhala zosafuna kuti munthu akhale pamalo poteropo koma zotsatira za mamangidwe a nyumbayo zimene zimapereka kusiyanitsa kwa anthu awiri awa kwa amene adamanga pa thanthwe ndi amene adamanga pa mchenga.
Both of these, it says, undertook to build houses. Both of them persevered in building their house, and both of them finished their houses. So if you were just to look at the outward appearance, you would look at their zeal and the labor, you would think, well, both alike are good. I liken that to where we live in our societies. You'll find people very zealous, religious, busy about what they call serving the Lord. And if you just look at the outward, you might think, well, they're all the Lord's, but that's not the case. Here's where our Lord then shows how each house will be tested with rain and floods and wind that will beat on the house. Here's a reminder that even those that are the Lord's, that He has come and saved by His shed blood, they can expect opposition. They can expect trials. They can expect temptation.
Angakhale wosankhidwa anthu opemphera ayenekera kuyembekezera kutsutsidwa ayembekezere kuyembekezera mavuto mayesero zokoma zokhumudwitsa onse akhoza kukutsa mmenemo.
All of that is what is described here by the rain and floods and wind.
Onsewo akupeza kuti akumana ndi mafunde akumana ndi mphepo akumana ndi mvula yayikulu.
You see that in verse 25, describing the house of the wise man. It says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And you'll see our Lord uses the same language in verse 26 concerning the foolish man. It says that the foolish man hears these sayings, and then verse 27, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Exact same description as that of the wise man.
Amen. chifukwa mofana na nimi na ya mfula ni mato 26 kuti kwa hivunena kuti chifukwa ina kwa mfula ni itala misinje chifukwa sina omba mpeko sina kunda ba nyumbayo ndiyo chifukwa ina kwa mkukwa kwa hivye kuna hivyo kukuru.
That's to say that whenever we see tragedy that affects other people's lives, we're not to think, oh, well, that's God's judgment on them because they must not have been a child of God. No, both God's children and those who are going to suffer affliction.
Mene ama kumanenano antu wamba zintu zowa wa zokeleka ni mene soko mpera aine kila kumangana zowa wa zokeleka mmoyo uno balibe kusiana ni kakabakaniza mafuto kukwela mmoyo wa antu wamba mpera duwa kame mpera.
But here's the lesson for those of us that are God's children, that we're not to think that somehow we're going to be exempt from suffering and from trials as if because we're a child of God, then we're going to live freely through this life. No, we can expect storms. Many times in our lives, we're going to face situations that are going to shake us to our very foundation. And that if that foundation were not Christ and His finished work on our behalf, we would be just as the foolish, carried away. There are certain ones that are children of God that throughout their lifetime, it's not just once in a while, but it seems that God continually tests them and tries them. And you might wonder, well, what are they doing wrong? Well, it's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's that the Lord has purpose to try to test them, to show that foundation is Christ and nothing can remove them. Time and storms of life are going to prove the strength of one's foundation, whether it is truly of God or not. For a while, it appeared that even Judas Iscariot was one of the Lord's. Outwardly, he went out and preached with the others, and there wasn't anything outwardly that indicated that he was actually a son of perdition. The Lord knew who he was, but the other disciples didn't. It wasn't until the end, when he was put to the test, that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and then went out and hung himself. When you stop and ask yourself the question, what was really the difference between Judas and Peter? Because both denied the Lord at one point. Peter by the fire, when Christ was being judge swore that he didn't know him, but Judas also denied the Lord to the point of betraying him to the Pharisees to be crucified. Both denied the Lord. The difference was that Peter was built upon the solid rock, the foundation. When Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, he's talking about those that he came to save that are built upon his work and accomplished, that he accomplished for them. That's why they're preserved. Otherwise, we'd all be just like Judas Iscariot. In Luke chapter 22, and beginning with verse 31, the Lord reminded Peter as to why he would be kept. It says in Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But verse 32, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Simoni, Simoni, taona sarana na funsa akutenge nikuti akupetwe ningati zilipo. Oma, ndinakupemphera kuti chikumbiro chako chingazimwe ndipo iwe pamene watembenuka utadzitse abale ako.
The only difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter had the Lord Jesus Christ as his advocate. He said, I have prayed for thee. That's why Christ had come to save Peter, but he was no better than Judas. So ultimately, the only difference between saved and condemned is going to be the foundation. And those that Christ has put upon the rock, which is the foundation of salvation in his person and work, those will persevere. But all others, in time and through tests, will be done away. Now, one other point here to bring out with regard to the difference between those that are wise and foolish, it is in how they hear. You'll see here in both cases, our Lord speaks of them hearing. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man. And then down in verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, same expression, but doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man.
chifake ndimanga to nje follow yo imaonetsira kuti chifukwa chimene chiyesa ndine anamva mau anga amene wanti kwachita adzafanizira ndiye munthu wochenjera amene anamanga kubake pathanwe pamene inayo ikunda kuti ndipo yeze akabva mau anga amene wanti kusawachita adzafanizira ndi munthu wopusa yemwe anamanga nyumba yake pamchenga.
So here again is a lesson for us as preachers, that just because there are people gathered around us and we've opened the Word and we're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word, just because there's people sitting there and listening, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're hearing.
Kumvetsera kwa anthu sikuti kumatanthauza kuti gulu lonse likumva chimene chikulankhulidwa ayi.
In verse 24, when it says, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that hearing has to do with the internal working of the Spirit of God that brings Christ's word home to the heart. And there's a hearing, not just with the physical ear, but the spiritual ear. Life is given to be able to discern the very voice of the shepherd. Like Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. Now verse 26 speaks of the foolish as having heard these sayings, but it's a different type of hearing. They hear the words, they can read the same scriptures, and yet there's no inner working of the Spirit in the heart to cause them to embrace what they've heard. Oh, how we need the hearing of the Spirit to discern the Word of God and the will of God pertaining to Christ, as opposed to just hearing and then going our way. The difference is that those that truly hear, it says they do what they have heard. In other words, they're submitted to the very word of Christ, whereas others go their way and pursue their own desires. If you look with me over in the book of James and chapter 1 and verses 22 to 25, we have here an explanation of what our Lord is teaching here in Matthew 7.
James chapter 1 and verse number 1.
Verse 22 to 25.
Yakobo mutu oyamba undi maka 22 ulekeza 25.
James says in verse 22, James 1, but be ye doers of the word And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, where you see that word, word, be ye doers of the word, you could put a capital W there, because that's Christ. Be ye doers of Christ. Be ye followers of Christ. Be ye as those that Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and what? Follow me. There are many, when they read that, because the Spirit of Christ is not in them, they think, well, I guess I better get busy about doing. And so they go back to the Bible, and they start looking up rules and regulations and think, well, if I just do this, or I just do that, then I'm going to be okay. No, that's a foolish builder. In fact, those that reason that way, they demonstrate that they have not heard a thing, because to hear the word, in other words, to hear of Christ, means that we lay aside any effort of our own to try to earn our righteousness, but we rest in that work that He has accomplished alone. That's what it is to be a hearer and a doer. That's how verse 23 and 24 describe the foolish man. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth what? His way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This would describe someone like Cain, whom the Lord had taught that it required a blood sacrifice for the pardon of his sin. But he went his way. He heard that, but went his way, his own way, and forgot what manner of man he was. He thought that somehow he could bring some fruit of his own hands, and by that would find acceptance with God. And he was proven wrong. If any of us are true hearers of the word, that is, of Christ, first of all, we're going to see Christ as all of God's glory for our salvation. And secondly, we're going to see ourselves as nothing but sinful, and therefore in need of Him.
Yes.
That's how verse 20, James 1:25 describes it. Whoso looketh into, notice, the perfect law of liberty. That perfect law of liberty, that word liberty means justification. Looks into how it is God has declared that sinners should be justified by the work of his Son. One who looks into, you see, there's a hearing and there's a looking and continues therein. In other words, they don't have any other justification than that of Christ. And being not a forgetful hearer, to think that somehow I'm going to go over here and try to add to what Christ has done, but a doer of the work. You see that? It's the doer of the word, but it's the doer of the work. In other words, following after Christ and his work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So just like our Lord here in Matthew 7:24-29, James here is contrasting between those that do the word versus those that are just merely hearers. To look into the mirror, as James describes there, is to look into the gospel as it sets Christ forth as all of salvation, the law of justification, that word liberty, how it is that we can be just before God. It's only through the work of Christ. And therein, those that truly hear, look to him alone. So coming back to my text here in Matthew 7, we see then that those that are the Lord's, that are built upon the rock, that is Christ and his finished work, no matter what storm of life that the Lord brings their way, their salvation, their safety is in what he has accomplished for them and not in anything that they do or say. There are many that face the storms of life that the Lord sends, and yet they foolishly go back to rebuilding what has been destroyed. In other words, they try to pick up and begin doing again the very same things. They're like the one that looked in the mirror and went their own way. They've not learned anything that their trust must be in Christ alone and his finished work alone. And that's why in verses 28 and 29 of Matthew 7, this teaching of Christ astonished many as they heard it, because they realized, first of all, it was different than what they were accustomed to hearing from the religious leaders of their day. And I could say the same thing today. People, when they hear this gospel message, truly hear it, they'll be astonished to learn that it's not Salvation is not in what they do, but it's in what Christ has done. I will say that to have hearers astonished is a good thing. That means that they heard something. And that's how we need to preach, with such distinction that when people go away, there's no question as to where salvation is. It's in the Lord alone. But there again, we don't want people just being astonished, shaken, so to speak, and then going their own way as if they heard nothing. No, our desire is that the Lord bring His word home to their hearts, so that when they do hear and realize that nothing in themselves can bring acceptance before God, only the work of Christ, then what they do is follow Him. That's the doing of the word, following Him. What the Lord gives us to preach, exalting Christ and His finished work at the cross, it will astonish people. It does set itself apart from just the mere opinions of men. That's what most people go and hear from their preachers, opinions. No, what they'll hear from any that are His true servants is the very word of Christ, the declaration of Christ. And there is where we need to rest. The ultimate storm that all will face is going to be the judgment of God. And any that are not in Christ, their house cannot stand. It's like Noah and his family. They went through the same judgment as the rest of the world. But why were they preserved? Why were they saved? Because the judgment fell on the ark in which they were hidden, which represents Christ. All others perished. Oh, that God by His grace would cause us to hear the voice of Christ and then do, run to Christ. That's the doing. The hearing is to hear the voice. The doing is running to Him and resting in Him alone. May the Lord bless His word to our hearing. And I'll turn it back to you.
What a beautiful time that the Lord gave us.